welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Crabby Christian,
a Misfit Media Network production.
I am your host and resident Crabby Christian, Blake, and every week I get to have the coolest conversations with incredible people about all the things most Christians are still not sure we're allowed to talk about. So if you've been looking for a place to land with all your crap, and for someone to just be honest about what it looks like to walk through this Christian life, well, you've come to the right place. Pull up a seat, pop in your headphones and tune out your kids, and come hang out with me and a guest for the authentic conversations that you have been looking for. All right, Miss Heather Brown, welcome to Confessions of a Crabby Christian.
Thanks, Blake. I love your sexy intro voice. You're very here.
Got to shift gears. Well, because right. We were just talking very excitedly before we started recording. I was like, I gotta take it down a couple notches to ease us into the episode. I've gotten to be on your show. We have so much in common. This is gonna be such a great conversation because we're gonna talk about self-care. Like, we're gonna talk about it through a little bit of a different lens. You are a blogger, podcaster, author, content creator, but your brand is My Life Well Loved. And then you have Healthy with Heather Brown. So health and wellness and helping women embrace that is really your thing. And so I'm excited to talk about kind of a different element of that. I think a lot of people think of health, they think of like, go, 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 eat all the greens, run, run, run. And that's really not your vibe.
Absolutely not. And in fact, I'm like, spoiler alert, because exactly what you just said, where you were like, you do this and you do that and you do the other. I'm actually simplifying in this coming year, which I'm kind of learning is almost like my new motto for health is simplifying. I'm actually about to rebrand to be Healthy by Heather Brown across the board.
I love that.
So by the time you release this episode, I probably will have changed my Instagram handle and all the things. So if you haven't already seen it, you heard it here first.
Yes. I love that. Tell me what you do. You have your podcast. Is your membership like public knowledge yet?
It will be by the time this episode comes out. Yes.
Where you just teach people how to like take steps towards a healthier life. What does that look like?
Yeah, essentially what I have learned is that, so just to give you a little bit of my background, I graduated from Stanford University. That's where I met my husband, college sweethearts, and then have been blogging for five ever. I'm a dinosaur in the blogging world. I really use my journalism degree to go in that route. And so now I've been doing this for 12 years, but in the midst of that, I picked up a job at Pure Bar, which is a ballet bar-based workout for those of you that aren't familiar. And it blends yoga, Pilates, and bar all in one. And as somebody that has always loved health and wellness and cheered and did volleyball, but also had all these, this family history of cancer and heart disease and even just unhealthy weight issues, I always knew health was going to be important to me. But because I was almost like the first generation of caring about it, I didn't know how to walk that out and what that looked like. So I kept hearing, you know, you should be working out, you should be working out. But I was learning you can't go 90 to nothing with like a spin class every day.
Yeah.
And you can't be just like pounding the pavement every day. That's actually in the end going to end up deteriorating your joints. You're not going to give your body time to recover. And so through my health journey, fast forward, I now have a seven-year-old little boy, but when I delivered him, I actually struggled with postpartum depression. I had a fourth degree tear, and I almost had this wake-up call of like, okay, so now I am back to square one. My body can do nothing. I have been commanded by my doctor not to walk past the mailbox. How am I going to rebuild health? And to me, I had learned to use exercise as a coping mechanism. So instead of realizing like, no, first and foremost, Heather Brown is a Christian. I'm saved by Jesus. He is what gives me my worth. And then I was finding my worth in my exercise and teaching women how to, you know, work out. And then also in running this business online, which as Blake, you well know, it can get very tricky very fast with the praise and the negativity and all these things. So when I really had to bring it back to square one, I was struggling with PPD. I was like, okay, Lord, like here I am. I can't move my body. That's how I deal with stress. I am crying all the time. I feel broken. Like, what does all this mean? How do I move on from here? And you guys can listen to the first episode of the podcast. I talk all about PPD, but at the end of the day, what I learned was that number one, I have to figure out how to make rest a priority. And I still struggle with that to this day. I know some people struggle more with laziness. Mm-hmm. I struggle more with overdrive and pushing myself.
Same.
Yes, I've gathered that from your stories and our conversations. And so what I wanted Healthy with Heather Brown to do was to be able to take women's hands who are struggling on either end of the spectrum and to help you realize that health doesn't just mean that you lose 5 pounds or that you fit in that dress size you were when you were a bride. Because even if you do the most strict diet in the world, but it's not becoming a part of your lifestyle, or if your relationship with the Lord isn't right, or you have all this pent up hurt, I call it the triple threat triangle. You've got your spiritual health at the top, your physical health, and your mental health. If they're not all three being worked on at all times, one of them's always going to be dragging that whole health being down. And so women get caught up in that, especially because we're too busy taking care of our babies, which is so honorable. So we love you, Mama. We know your heart's in a good place. But if you don't fill your cup first from the inside out, you can't love your people well and efficiently. So I'm using the Healthy by Heather Brown membership just to day in and day out teach women these principles and to help them realize, like, no, you don't just have to eat a kale salad. No, you don't have to be starving. There's so much more to it than that.
Well, and I think what it comes down to is redefining health. And that's what I had to do in the last, honestly, just in the last year, massively redefined. I had taken on the world's, or like the corporate definition of health, which was an external signifier of what health was. And I can tell you, I'm never getting back in my wedding dress. It's not going to freaking happen. It's not in the cards. My hips are wider because I grew humans. I've gained weight, but I don't look back at 21-year-old Blake putting on that wedding dress and go, she was healthy.
Right. And how interesting is that? But do we even think about that usually? No, we're just like, oh, look how skinny I was. Like,
exactly. And that's not healthy. And that's kind of what I had to come to, was that's the easy route. And I don't take the easy route in anything in my life. I am always going to choose the road of most resistance. But like, why would health be any different? That redefining it set me free, really.
Absolutely. Which is huge. I actually take it back to the basics so often. I made myself do this exercise, and I'm curious to hear your answer too. So, and I wrote it down because I was like, I have to have this. I have it printed out. It's in front of me on my desk all the time. What it says is, I do what I do because I'm passionate about spreading a new definition of health. Mm. A new definition of what health means to me, Healthy by Heather Brown, is it is a lazy mom's approach to complete and total health from the inside out. It's attainable for anyone. Recognizing that being healthy means prioritizing your mental health, your physical health, and spiritual health. Letting your pile of good things grow as you work towards better health one day at a time, 1% at a time. When you strive for complete health from the inside out, you begin thriving, feeling fulfilled, balanced, confident, and joyful.
Okay, but the word attainable in there, I want to talk about that. We're going a little bit of a different direction than I told you we would, but story of my life.
Okay, great.
So let's talk about attainable health, because there are some really popular voices in this space that will tell you all you have to do is X, Y, Z, and you'll look like me. You'll drop 40 pounds in a year, et cetera, et cetera. Then you go add up the cost of the items in their gym and the amount of time in their personal gym and the amount of time and the personal chef and the personal trainer and the nanny. That isn't attainable. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I love that for you. Stop making it sound like we can all do what you have done.
Right.
Have you seen that in that space?
100%. Yes. Do you go to a naturopath, Blake?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I do too, which I also realize costs a lot of money. So yeah. I don't say that knowing that everybody can't do that.
Correct.
But what I will say is that even if I could not afford going to a naturopath, there are so many free resources out there on podcasts, on books, on all these things where you can be learning continuously. But what I really like about it is that, like you just said, I'm always going to go at things the hard way. The problem is, and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm about to step up on a soapbox. So the problem is that when we are told, though, by medical providers and all these people, like, yeah, do this and this will happen for you from your personal trainer, from your doctor, or, and then you go to your doctor and they're like, yeah, your blood work looks normal. Like, everything's good here. No, absolutely not.
By whose standards? Like, what standard are we following anymore?
Exactly. So my question to people when they ask me that, or when they say that, is my doctor said my blood work looks normal. Okay. Look at the average American right now. Are they healthy?
Is that the standard we want to be holding ourselves to?
Absolutely not. No, heck no. And so you've got to find resources, and I'll list out three right off the top of my head. If you look at Archetype Health, Dr. John here in Birmingham, Alabama, but he services clients, you know, nation and worldwide. Then there's Dr. Will Cole, who also runs an integrative clinic. I've had him on my podcast. We can link to that episode. He has his own podcast. And then Dr. James DeNicolai on Instagram. He has this massive following. But I love finding people who are willing to explore root causes.
Yes.
Because a lot of times when people on Instagram say, if you work out 5 days a week and you eat X amount of protein, you're going to look the way I do. Well, is that really true? Do they have diabetes? Are they unhealthy in general? What little tweaks are you telling them to do will definitely get them these results?
And that's not to say that, like, yes, work out, eat protein, drink yes. water. There are general benefits. It's the promise of you're going to get what I've gotten. That, like, we have completely different bodies. We have completely different experiences. Having gone through genetics, PPD, PPA, anxiety, depression, bipolar, all of that stuff. And then you add on top of that, that healthcare is expensive.
It is.
Regular, like run-of-the-mill healthcare and naturopathic healthcare, it's all expensive. So one of the things that you talk about a lot, that I talk a lot about a lot, is this idea of self-care. And I like that you talk about it from like a doing what you can with what you can, right? Like, yes, there should be like goals and standards, and maybe there are things that you are pursuing, but you can take care of yourself, like where you are today with what you have. You don't need the fancy stuff. You don't even necessarily need like a prescribed self-care, like order of business. What has your experience with self-care looked like? Because I know you're like a hustler like me, and self-care doesn't usually come easily to us.
No, it does not. So I'm a big believer in a Sunday reset.
Same.
Okay. Do you do it on Sundays?
Yep.
Okay. So Sunday reset to me means that, and I actually just incorporated this in the past, I would say 3 weeks, and it has been a game changer for me, is now I start my Sunday reset by sitting still. No phone, no nobody. It's a coffee date with Heather, where I almost evaluate, how has the past week looked since my last Sunday reset? Let's say I went on vacation. What did it look like 2 weeks ago? From there, how am I feeling emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually? I'm checking in. How's my marriage doing? How am I doing my kids? Are there things that I don't normally put in my week that this week I need to set in motion to make up for where I'm feeling short?
Yeah.
Eric and I need an additional date night. Like, what does that look like for us this week? So I start off with that 10-minute check-in now. And then what I found is that my meal planning is the cornerstone of health for me, because I'm planning my healthy meals. Number two, it allows me to communicate with Eric and my boys and everything about our schedule that are coming up. We're putting in the soccer practices. We're putting in the date nights. We're putting in all these things that are then allowing Eric and I to say, hey, we're going to the beach in 2 weeks. Do you want to go ahead and eat a little bit healthier this week? If so, and we say that, what does that mean to you? Do you want to see red meat on the menu? Do you want to see veggies? Do you want to see no added sugar? Like, we've said we want to clean it up. Let's have that conversation now. So we're on the same track. And it helps so much when your spouse is able to support you in that health journey. I mean, it's just huge. And so, and I'm now forcing myself to utilize that piece of it to almost slot in like, okay, now I see that this Bible study is ending in a week. Do I want to text some new girls to start a new devotional? Do I want to start a new podcast series? What am I going to do for my spiritual health this week? So I'm almost forecasting into the week ahead. And also my Sunday reset, if for some reason I can't get a bath on Sunday, I'm making it happen on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear that the bath is not the self-care. The self-care, you could get a massage and it's still maybe you need to fill your cup. You could get anything. And if you are calling it self-care, but it's not actually feeding your soul, your mind, your body, what you need to refuel, at the end, a waste of money and your time.
Yeah.
So for me, a bath is it. And Blake, I actually, this is way too much. But last week I was like, okay, I went to church. I didn't get to go to church that morning. And so I hadn't been in the Word yet that day. I was super stressed. And I was like, okay, for me today in my bath, it means that I'm going to put on, I treated myself to listening to one of your podcasts. So that was like, I'm feeding myself, like I need that mental and spiritual stimulation. So I looked for an episode that was like pertaining to my life and what was coming up that week to help spiritually and mentally prepare. And then I turned on worship music once I was done with that. And I decided that I was going to do dry brushing and stretching when I got out because I was really tight and sore from stress.
Yeah.
That's what my Sunday reset looks like. And a lot of times it may mean that I realize my muscles are super tight. My plantar fasciitis is really ticked off. So I'm going to call the chiropractor on Monday and figure out that appointment.
Yeah.
So self-care has changed drastically for me over the years. And I think you have to give yourself freedom that every season it might need to change.
I think sometimes, especially for the ADHD types like me, it can be difficult to realize and admit that self-care, real self-care, effective self-care requires intentionality. Because if I've had like just the most bananas day and I haven't been intentional, I haven't planned anything, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed, I'm going to get in the bath is not fixing anything. I love me a bath. We built this house like basically around a bathtub. Like everything was about like having the bathtub of my dreams. Kidding, but also I love a bath. But if I'm pissed off and I'm not being intentional about using that time, like in the bathtub to get in the right frame of mind, if I spend the whole time scrolling on TikTok or on Instagram, I'm still pissy when I get out of the bathtub. It's not the bath is not the fix. It's the intentionality that's behind it. And I love what you said about just taking 10 minutes to evaluate, like, how do I feel? How are things going? And then the communication is so key. Like, you kind of just blew my mind with the idea of communicating about meal planning, because I'm just like, da 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 da. Like, I just do it. And then I'm like, I'm just living a life and not bringing my husband into it, which is the story of my life. I'm working on it. It's a work in practice.
Hey, spoiler alert, 13 years in a marriage, that's still a struggle. We finally got the meal planning Sunday thing down, but it still happens for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. But if you're communicating, like, that's intentionality. Communicating with your spouse. You said TMI. I'm going to TMI even harder. When we're recording this, like, I started my period today. So I sent Jeremy a text message and was like, I started my period today. I'm exhausted and grumpy. Like, that intentionality is self-care. Because now he knows, like, I'm crampy and I'm a little bit low energy and, like, he might need to pick up a little bit of slack. But I've never been a very intentional person. I really think it's the ADHD. Like, you just are flying by the seat of your pants. And for a long time, I got by on that. And then you get older and you become a mom and you have a business and you're like, okay, I am drowning. I'm going to have to implement intentionality, and then that will feed into self-care.
Million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. And if you're among them, I need you to know that you're not alone and that there's a solution you can trust to deliver some results. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. It supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the root causes of thinning. Nutrafol has 3 physician-formulated formulas using natural, drug-free, medical-grade ingredients so you can get the most reliable results. And in a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code BLAKE to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer they offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code BLAKE.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
why do you think women are so bad at this? Like, why do we habitually abandon self-care?
Well, first of all, I have to say that along with Blake's TMI, I also started my period today.
No, we're saying
part of what we were like, what? About before we started. The hype was real. Oh my gosh, we're cycle synced. But why do I think that women abandon self-care? So I think that a lot of it comes from societal pressures. I think a lot of it comes even from our husbands don't even realize how much we're reading into the things that they say or that they do. And so if they come home and they're like, I'm exhausted from work, we're like in our brain, ugh. Well, I guess that means now I have to put the kids to bed and now I've got to do the dishes and I've got to do the cooking and I've got to do blah, blah, blah.
Which is not what he said.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
So I think that it goes back again to intentionally communicating as well. So saying, hey, babe, I hear that you say that you're tired. I have also had a hard day. Would you be willing to maybe tag team this? If I can get the kids' plates ready and on the table and get them fed and do that whole rigmarole, which normally, obviously, we would like to sit together as a family, but life is perfect.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to put the kids to bed tonight? That way you can kind of rest, shut your eyes, do whatever you need to do, zone out. He's a 5 on the Enneagram, so he loves some zone out time.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll tap you in, essentially. Yeah. But unless you have that communication, how is he going to know he needs to help you pick up the slack?
Right. Yeah. And communication really does change the game because women have such a tendency to expect their husbands to be mind readers. And I'm saying that because it is me.
Same.
I am the problem. Like,
yes,
I want my husband to read my mind. And that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be initiative taken, that they shouldn't be aware of what's going on around them. But like, exactly like you're saying, when you communicate, hey, I'll do this, you do this, then like you're actually functioning as a team.
100%. And I even think setting the expectation early, like this is so TMI, Blake, but I'm like, we're already here. So it's
fine.
A lot of times, when, like you sent that text to your husband, I am telling my husband a lot of times, hey, I'm starting my period pretty soon. Not only do I want to let you know that like I'm going to be a little more cranky and these things are going on. It's like sex is healthy in marriage.
Yep.
The Bible teaches that. We are aware of that. Let's go ahead and just set the expectations.
Yes.
Here's what's not happening tonight, probably. don't think that I'm like turning you down. I'm not trying to hurt your ego. I'm just letting you know where we're at.
Yeah. And that is, again, an act of self-care.
So true. So true. One thing that you talked about earlier was the role of the church and all this. And I think that a lot of times, I'm like, is it Mark 10:13? Now I'm blanking for a minute for some reason. But he talks about how we are to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So God just told you to love yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
We hear the phrase so often, you can't pour from an empty cup, but it's biblical. Like, it's not just this like pretty thing that people say because it sounds good. It is factual.
Yeah.
Like, I literally have women that come through this membership with me or do coaching with me in their health, and they are weeping on the phone to me like, but I just feel too guilty to get to the gym. I can't leave my baby. What if XYZ happens? And I just want to encourage you that if you're listening to this and you feel that way, number one, my heart breaks for you because in some way, shape, or form, all women have been there and felt that way, whether it's because we feel guilty or we feel shame or because our moms have said something to us about it or our husbands or our church. But it's biblical, mama. Like, you have to take care of your body. God gave you one body. He said to treat it as a temple. It is to be used as a gift to honor him and to honor your church and your family and your friends and your babies. Please be encouraged to go take care of you. It doesn't have to be an hour-long workout. It can be, honey, do you mind watching the kids for 30 minutes when you get home so I can go turn on a YouTube channel in the back?
Right.
You don't like a YouTube workout? Okay, honey, do you care if I go meet up with a neighbor and walk around the block? I've just got to get my body moving to literally get my sanity back.
Exactly.
Give yourself that permission slip. It is vital. Like, I want to cry because it takes me back to how I felt.
Yeah.
And it is dangerous. Please take care of yourself.
Well, and I have two thoughts. One, I know that there is somebody that's listening that just heard you quote that verse and they have had that verse rebutted in their life because I have with, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that because he knows we're inherently selfish. And so he was like, you're already going to love yourself. So love your neighbor. I'm sorry. That is maybe for some people, But inherently loving myself and choosing myself is not what comes naturally to me. And I would say that that's probably more common in mothers than not. We are not wired to pick ourselves. Once those tiny humans enter the picture, everything is about them. Everything is about them. And you put yourself on the back burner. And you know what? There's maybe a season where that is kind of just the only option that you've got. But let it be a season.
Yes.
To exactly to what you were saying. Like when your kids are really small, I try to encourage people like, no, you're not going to the gym for an hour and a half in the morning, babe. Like, I mean, if you are, awesome. That was not my reality. It was exactly what you were saying. It was stealing 30 minutes here, stealing 30 minutes there during a nap or when my husband got home. But life is made up of seasons. And if you carry what has served you in one season into a totally different one, it's no longer going to serve you. And so like my kids are 6 and 8 now. They make their own breakfast. They wipe their own butts. They get themselves dressed. I'm also in a season of having my husband home in the mornings. So like I get up, I pull uniforms and I'm at the gym by 7 and I'm there until 8:30. That is a first in my life, but it's because I allowed the season to change.
Yes.
With my life.
Yes.
So if you're in that like littles season and you're hearing us be like, you have to take care of yourself. And you're like, with what? With what time? With what resources? Like carve out what you can, but just remember that this is a season.
Yes.
And like you're going to move into another one, and prioritizing self-care in this season, however you can, will like launch you into being able to do it in the next one.
And actually, I even think one of the first things I have women do when they start the membership is write down their why. So a lot of times, especially in those newborn seasons, your why has changed, because maybe your why before was like, my mom was really unhealthy and I want to break, you know, generational issues and stuff to be able to teach my children this one day in the future and to feel good. Once you have those babies, it may be, you know, my why is that I want to be able to keep up with them and to be able to have the stamina to breastfeed them or to do whatever you want to do in your parenting journey. But, and I'll also say for our overachievers like Blake and me, I actually have had to make it a priority to rest now. I'm aiming for 2 days a week. And I know that sounds so dumb to some of you, but I love working out. I constantly have to fight this battle between I want to work out and I want to feel good. But then I actually push myself so hard at the gym and I do not allow myself to take modifications unless I really fight for it, that I then am realizing, no, I'm back in that same headspace I was when I had PPD. And like my spiritual health has dropped and now my physical health is up here. I want to acknowledge that that is real. And I've actually watched women go from not working out to working out and then getting too into their self-image.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to caution you against that too. But that's why I say, it is a triangle. If one part of that health equation falters, you're sinking yourself. Like, yeah. Please be careful.
No, absolutely. What are your small steps that you give women to just start taking care of themselves?
Yeah, for sure. So my listeners always say that when I don't want to get on the treadmill or if I don't want to run, I always hear you saying this in the back of my head. I say it all the time. If you want to run or you want to get in some kind of exercise, start with a mile. And if you say, Heather, I can't run a mile. Okay. Jog a mile. Heather, I can't jog. Okay. Walk a mile.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't walk a mile. Walk a quarter mile. You just got to start somewhere. You truly have to start somewhere. For some women, they need to start with yoga. You've got to start with bar. You've got to start something that is more attainable in your life. So I think that's something everybody can do is just start somewhere. The hardest part of anything you do in life, whether it be starting a podcast, starting this membership, starting a blog, working out, the hardest thing you're going to do is just show up.
100%.
Once you get there, you're going to have accountability. Blake, I saw that you're starting a podcasting course. Once you start Blake's course, someone's going to be there to encourage you. It's Blake and other people in that cordial. Same thing in the Healthy by Heather Brown community. You show up. We're going to be there cheering you on. All you have to do is show up.
Yep.
I think there's so much power in that. And there's power in having one person working with you. So if that is you want a professional like Blake or me, if that's your spouse, if that's your neighbor, you need one person you can say, hey, I want to get healthy. I hadn't been in a church small group forever. I'm struggling in my spiritual health. Will you do that? Will you go with me? Will you be my person, my cheerleader?
Yeah.
And then I also think water. Water is so easy. Everybody can drink water.
Yeah.
I've got, Blake keeps having to watch me like pick up my massive Stanley. I always have my Stanley on my desk. For those of you that struggle to get in water, I would say to get a straw. You want to get half your body weight in ounces of water per day. And then you also want to make sure you're getting in plenty of minerals. Blake, I saw that you love Revitalize too.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with Revitalize. Blake can put her code down there too. But it has minerals in it. You can also literally get a pinch of salt.
Yep.
Get the good kind, high quality salt. It's on Amazon. It's not expensive. I think it's, is it Red Diamond?
I don't know. I just use the Himalayan pink.
Okay, that one's great too. Yes. Yeah. But anyway, pinch of salt. You got to get your minerals in your water. Move your body. I would love for everybody to get 10,000 steps a day. But even if you can't, then start with 8,000. If you can't get 8,000, start with 5,000.
Yeah. Just start somewhere. Yeah. And I love that. Start somewhere. Get accountability. Drink water. And the only thing I would add is prioritizing sleep.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
That's a huge one.
What does your reset look like, Blake? How do you get in sleep? Are there any boundaries you put around to have a good reset?
Oh yeah. I have so many boundaries. Like sometimes I'm functioning within my boundaries and I'm like, is this normal? Does everybody have to have this many boundaries? Because I feel like I have a lot. Like my phone goes on do not disturb at 5 o'clock in the evening every single day. And I try to log off of Instagram by 6. It is my job. So it's difficult to just like not be on there, but it's been so much better. I am off from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. every weekday. I plug my phone. I try to plug my phone in and put it in a drawer. I wake up to an alarm clock instead of my phone so that I don't even pick my phone up first thing. Because I've come to find how much blue light really does impact your sleep. It is crazy. I wear my blue light glasses when the sun goes down. But my Sunday reset is I wash workout clothes and uniforms when we're in school. 2 more weeks. Yes, Lord.
Oh, girl, my little one's already out and the second one gets out Thursday. I'm like, this week.
So jealous. I am like, I'm the one counting down more than my kids potentially, but I get caught up on laundry. I meal prep. I plan out my week. I mean, I write out like everything I have to get done that week and then I chunk it into days. And for me, that's really good because if I know what I need to get done, I'm just going to try to get it all done on Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to just try to blow through it. Like yesterday, I'm recording the course that's coming out. And so I was like, I'm going to record the intro and the first lesson. And I was like, I can do the next lesson. And I was like, no, you said the intro and the first lesson. Do what you said you were going to do and do the next lesson the next day. So putting breaking all of what I need to get done into daily chunks and then holding myself to that. And then I grocery shop. And that's about it.
That's really good. But I want people to hear everything you just said, though. That takes discipline.
Ah.
That people always ask me, how do you stay so motivated to work out? And I always say, it's not motivation. I just am disciplined to show up, even on the days that I don't want to show up because of my why. I go back to my why. Do I want to be able to keep up with my kids and feel good? Yes.
Right. And my motivation is I know what my life looks like when I don't do these things. And I don't like it. I don't like feeling frazzled. I don't like feeling like I'm running a million different directions. Like I didn't do my Sunday reset on Sunday because it was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Like I was busy drinking mimosas and being with my mom and watching old movies and it was great. But then Monday I was stressed.
Yeah.
And I was like, freaking, why didn't I do laundry? I set myself up for failure. Like what an idiot. So it does take a lot of discipline. And sometimes I'll talk about it with people and they're like, that's a lot. I'm like, I run a household and a business. Doing a couple of things on Sunday to set myself up for success really isn't that much.
Yeah. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. So let me encourage you with that. I actually have a whole Sunday reset program as part of the membership. And because it is so vital in my life. And I'm like, you don't have to do all the steps I do. You may not need all this. Great. You can make it a 5-minute process and be done.
Yeah.
It takes me about 30, I would say.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, considering how much laundry we create.
Okay. I don't mean actually doing laundry.
Yeah. Like maybe half an hour. And I typically go sit outside and make everybody stay inside. I am going to start implementing like a little evaluation.
Yeah.
How am I? How are my relationships? What do I need? What didn't serve me well? I think that starting there probably makes the whole process even more, like even easier and more impactful. Because I think you can at some point start just going through the motion.
Totally.
Right? Like I'm just going through the motions of my reset.
I just had this conversation with Deborah Felita. She's a therapist and has written books, all that stuff. But she was talking with me about how she thinks of your health as four quadrants. So obviously spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. So the, I guess the main part she focuses on, obviously, because she's a counselor, is the relational health as well. But she just was saying, Heather, you know, when you implement those 10 minutes at the beginning to like really evaluate everything, she said it helps you so much. And she said, where I feel like the church is out of balance when it comes to all this stuff is she said, they're separating your health and acting like you go to church. She said, how many times can you say you've heard a sermon about physical health? She was like, I can probably count three.
Yeah.
Like on one hand, I can count it. And then she was like, but spiritual health, obviously, like, they're talking about all the time. So she was like, I really do wish we even were taught from our churches how to have a more balanced whole health approach. So I don't, have you found a church or heard anybody talking on this from a spiritual perspective?
I mean, there are definitely people I've had on the podcast and like authors and stuff like that. But as far as from like local or global churches, no. And I get that to a degree, like it can be like the church. And I literally just did an interview with a guy right before you where we were talking about how much the church tiptoes through theology and how much we like don't want to hurt people's feelings because then they're not butts in the seats and then they're not revenue and it's like a whole thing.
Sure.
But I get how that would be tricky to like navigate health being holistic and there being multiple pillars to it. It's easier to just talk about your spiritual and mental health than to be like, hey, church, like we're called to look different in every way.
Right.
Do you look different in the way that you are caring for the body that God gave you? Ooh, that's convicting.
Yeah. Especially in the South where both you and I are from. So yeah.
my Popeyes would disagree if I said yeah, but.
But thanks for getting in the uncomfortable with me as it relates to being a Christian in all aspects of health. I appreciate that you're willing to have those conversations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that was a really big conviction for me. I was not taking care of myself, but that's also kind of taught. We're taught die to self, get out of the way. It's not about you, take up your cross. And yes, all of that is biblical, but in context, first of all, I don't have to take up my cross because I already died on it with Christ. So I've already picked up my cross. I don't have to like actually carry it every day and be miserable. I have this whole highlight on my Instagram right now about like, it's okay to have a beautiful life and love Jesus. And I think that that is an epidemic within the church is that we've been taught that our life is going to be one of suffering and misery. And then you can kind of get to a point where you're like, why take care of my body? I'm just going to be miserable.
That's so true. Jeez. So let me eat my emotions and feel better. Yeah,
exactly. So I kind of, it's breaking that theology. It's deconstructing the idea that the Christian life is one of misery and suffering. Are those things going to be elements of it? Yes. That is not the lot that we have been given, like as children of God. So why don't you take care of yourself in the process?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Tell people like what you've got going on right now. You've got, you like, have all the irons in the fire.
I know I'm trying to rein some of those irons back in.
No, I love it.
but if you go to mylifewellloved.com, you can find all the things. You can find me on Instagram every single day, hanging out my Instagram stories. Like I said, I will be changing that soon to Healthy by Heather Brown. And the podcast is right now Healthy with Heather Brown. It will become Healthy by Heather Brown. I started the show actually, like I'm pretty sure this episode's coming out in August. So I started it last August, 1 year old, but the Lord has incredibly just blessed the podcast beyond what I could have ever imagined. I've been so grateful to get to make connections with people like Blake and to get to have people on that are willing to talk about biblical truths from a whole health perspective. Again, I really like to encourage mamas just to find joy from the inside out. And if you look miserable, like you were saying, Blake, like why would people be drawn to that? You're supposed to see the light, like the light and the darkness. And yes, sometimes that comes a little salt that people don't want to hear. So again, salt, water, light, all the good things look different as believers. So you guys come find me on Instagram, go to mylifewellloved.com, and please tune into Healthy with Heather Brown. And Blake, if you don't mind linking your and my episode on my show.
Yeah.
I'd love for y'all to come listen to that because it was good and spicy and all the things.
It was so good. Heather, thank you so much. This was so great.
So great. Thanks again, Blake.
All right. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right. See you next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.